free a child for adoption. It will leave parents of children, legal parents of children, and those with established familial relationships who are mischaracterized as mere putative fathers because of an adoption statute, or excuse me, as mere putative fathers with no legal recourse because the adoption statutes provide none, and habeas is the sole remedy left to them to assert their rights. It will incentivize trafficking children across state lines to launder them of their parentage for the purpose of adoptive placement, and it will require this court to disregard or reverse virtually all of its determinations regarding parentage entered since Cesar C. v. Alicia L. in 2011. Heather gave birth to J.J. H.B. in Ohio on April 15, 2013, while living with Jesse's parents at their home and for the next 6 months where they continue to reside with her daughter. The day after her birth, they both executed an acknowledgement of paternity on Ohio form that changed his status from a putative father to a presumed father. 60 days after that, he became the legal father of this child as though born to him in lawful wedlock. And at that point in time...
Is that what Ohio's law provides?
That is correct. That's 311125 specifically provides that a child born or acknowledged is as though born in lawful wedlock. It was never challenged within the one-year time period that's authorized under Ohio law. Jesse contends, that his daughter was wrongfully detained and subsequently wrongfully adopted by T.H., a single woman, in Nebraska after Heather brought her here for that purpose without his knowledge or consent. The district court properly concluded it had jurisdiction to entertain habeas, but subsequently erred by concluding the county court's orders depriving it of subject matter jurisdiction precluded its continued or required dismissal. The district court, like the county court, failed to give the acknowledgement of paternity, which is Exhibit 6, the legal effect that Ohio law requires, as is reflected by the Ohio court's order, which is Exhibit 8, and as is required by 43-1406, subparagraph 1.
And that statute says that Nebraska must give full faith and credit.
That is correct, sir. 43-1406...
To an acknowledgement?
To an acknowledgement, specifically to an acknowledgement. It says to an acknowledgement... An adjudication by administrative or judicial determination, and two, DNA testing conducted in another state. So it basically encompasses all the potential means that you could think of that would establish paternity in another state.
Including bio parent.
Including a biological parent, including
a marital parent, and so forth.
Well, you know, actually, 43-1406, I don't believe specifically speaks to the presumption of paternity for marriage. I guess I'd have to reread the statute. I don't recall.
So after 60 days from the acknowledgement, under Ohio law, Jesse is the legal father of the child.
That's correct, sir.
Don't we have a Nebraska case that says even a child born during wedlock, if it is determined that the husband and presumed father is not the biological father, that just makes the father a stepfather?
I don't know if he uses the term stepfather. You may be correct in that regard. But there is Nebraska case law that says that you can disestablish the paternity of a presumed father that arises by the marital presumption.
So why is this different then?
Because the statutes don't allow it. 43-1412.01 specifically precludes the disestablishment of paternity in the instance where a man has established his paternity as a result of artificial insemination, adoption, and acknowledgement. The court recognizes, or excuse me, the unicameral recognized that is a stronger presumption of paternity than the mere marital presumption. It was a bond that was created after the birth of this child, and the state gives this a deeper and more lasting meaning than the mere marital presumption. And that's exactly what this court has held in Cesar C. and its progeny, consistently.
Refresh my memory. What did we hold?
In Cesar C., Cesar C. was in 2011 is when that case came down. And that's what held that an acknowledgement of paternity is a legal determination of paternity. And there have been a few different cases that have come down since that point in time. I believe Stacey N. was one that came out of the Court of Appeals most recently. The Jamie F., I guess I'd have to refer to the brief specific cases on that, Your Honor. But one of the cases that this court cited in Cesar, and is probably critical to the analysis, is In re Gendron. And in In re Gendron, the New Hampshire Supreme Court recognized that it was obliged to give full faith and credit to the acknowledgement of paternity from Massachusetts, and it precluded a subsequent challenge of that determination of paternity because under a statute similar to ours, they were required to give full faith and credit to that determination. And full faith and credit, as this court held in Susan H. v. Keith L., means that you have to give that judgment, and that's what this equates to. It's not a judgment in the sense that a court rendered it, but it has the same operative effect as a judgment. You have to give that full faith and credit, which means you have to accord it the same meaning that it would have in as it would have in
this state. What is your reply to counsel's argument that really we don't have to give full faith and credit because I think she's indicated that we have to give effect to our statutes?
Well, we do have to give effect to our statutes, but she's misreading those to start with. I mean, the statutes only require this inquiry in the instance where you have a putative father or an adjudicated father under 104.22. Jesse is neither a putative father nor an adjudicated father. His paternity has been legally established under the laws of the state in which it arose. This court has consistently held over the years that you look to the laws of the state in which a relationship is determined to determine what the parameters of that relationship is. And that is, in fact, the holding of Susan H. v. Keith L., in my opinion.
I just want to clarify, is it your position that this acknowledgement somehow elevates his status even above a father in a marriage when it is determined that he's not the biological father?
Actually, it does. That's exactly what it does. Yes, Your Honor. That would be my contention.
Is there, again, a decision from the Ohio State Supreme Court that says that?
There's not one from the Ohio State Supreme Court, but there is a decision where one of the appellate courts held NRA adoption of Reams, which is cited in the case and which is at 52 Ohio at 3rd 52. And in that particular case, the court held that the legal father of the child must consent to free that child for adoption. It's not the biology of that father. It's his legal status. What's a legal father? An adoptive father is a legal father. That's one of the primary things that you think about. As a father of a child who has established his parentage by adoption required to consent to the child's adoption, I don't think anybody would dispute that.
Well, your argument is at least his status in Ohio gives him the right to notice and to appear into the proceedings and that consent may be required, may not, depending upon what his true status is.
Well, that's true, and it also depends upon which provisions of the statutory provisions apply. And if you are saying he's a putative out-of-wedlock father of a child born in Nebraska, you have a whole different set of statutes that apply, which are the putative father provisions of the adoption statutes, whereas if you have the statutory provisions that relate to a child born in wedlock, then this consent is presumptively required unless there are a narrow set of circumstances in which they don't apply.
But Ohio recognizes him as a legal father.
Absolutely, Your Honor. I'm at the end of my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Ms. Sapp, good morning to you again.
Your Honor, thank you. May I please the Court, Susan Sapp, appearing for Appellate T.H. I want to address some things that counsel raised. Born in lawful wedlock as it relates to Ohio law, it is a rebuttable presumption. And Judge Pirtle, your question is excellent. Jesse is arguing that he is a super category of parent, more entitled to more protection and rights than a married father. That cannot be true. Even if he were a married father,
well, how did
she's
the
not.
County court treat him as what?
He treated him as a possible biological father. Because until there's DNA testing, when you have multiple suspects, all you
so
have are possibilities.
He didn't recognize his status as being a legal father.
Well, he was actually treated the same as an adjudicated father, as if there was a court order saying that he was the father, because he was treated in the same manner, even though he was not adjudicated. And it's an excellent question, Judge Wright. 43104.22 applies, that category criteria applies to an adjudicated father as well as a possible biological father. And sub 11 says, even if you're an adjudicated dad, if you are not, in fact, the biological father of the child, your consent is not required. So,
which statute were you...
pardon me.
43104.25.
No, to the rebuttable presumption. What statute were you referring to, the Ohio statute or the Nebraska statute?
The paternity of a married dad is a rebuttable presumption under Nebraska law. In re Sarah 21 Neb at 441, Alicia versus Jeremy 283 Neb 340.
But what about as to a legal father, as determined by the acknowledgement here?
The full faith and credit clause does not compel Nebraska to substitute the statutes of another state for its own statutes. That is In Re Trust created by Nixon, 277 Nev 546.
But is that if it's contrary to public policy here, or just generally don't have to give it credit?
If they had to give full faith and credit to every one of the other 49 states, that would create an untenable situation. They acknowledge
in this area, or you're speaking generally?
In general,
Your Honor. Well, I mean, this is, we're only talking about the state in which the child was born and the father came forward, or that Jesse came forward and acknowledged he was the legal father, and under Ohio law, after 60 days, that gives him the status as a legal father.
We
and you're arguing now in Nebraska he isn't even entitled to notice?
No, he did get notice. He was entitled to notice. He got everything he was entitled to as if he was an adjudicated dad, Your Honor.
Okay.
But
you're saying they can go ahead and proceed without they can proceed with the adoption without his consent?
Yes, sir. 43104.22.
Does it have to have him appear in the case if they can proceed regardless of what he does?
Well, because he was notified to give him an opportunity to come forward and show if he was in fact the biological father, because that's the threshold.
Is an adoptive father an adjudicated father?
No, he's just a father. He's the same as a married father, same as a biological father. An adopted parent takes on all the rights and responsibilities of legal parenthood as if the child was born to them naturally.
So help me out, back to your argument about what the adoption statutes require, right? And we were talking about whose consent is required. Is your proposition only the consent of the biological father is required?
In a child with respect to a child born out of wedlock, Your Honor, we're only talking about a child born out of wedlock, and 43104.22 governs that criteria.
And then somebody adopts that child.
Yes,
and then that individual, what's his status vis-a-vis consent?
If the child was adopted by two married individuals, then was replaced for adoption for some reason, that would no longer be an adoption out of wedlock because those two legal parents that adopted would be married, so it wouldn't have any application.
And if they were unmarried, then they were, say, adoptive father and then divorced.
Two unmarried people can't adopt, so there would still be only two married people married at the time.
If they were adopted, married and then adopted father.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and then they divorce, right? And so, therefore, adoptive father is adoptive father, but not bio father.
But we wouldn't be looking at biology anymore because it wouldn't be an out of wedlock birth. So we would be out of the unwed father statutes under adoption. We wouldn't be in that scenario.
Okay, can you picture a hypothetical where it was out of birth? They get married. There's an adoption. They get divorced, and then what?
Well, if there's an adoption decree, that makes that person, a legal parent, the same as if the child had been born to them, if there's a decree of adoption. Here we've got a unilateral acknowledgement of paternity signed by one person.
So that's a non-bio father who might have some rights under the adoption statute?
We wouldn't address them under 43104 and its subsections because that only applies to unwed fathers. But an adoptive father would have the same rights as a married biological father.
You've been indicating that the acknowledgement form in Ohio was only signed by the father, and I believe the other counsel is telling us it was signed by both Heather and the father.
Jesse's signature says, "I'm the dad." Heather signed it, but there's no language that she's signing that's saying he's the dad.
Is so the mother's signature required on the form?
In order for him to go on the birth certificate, yes. You can't unilaterally get yourself on a birth certificate without the agreement of the person who gave birth.
Okay, so they both signed it.
What about the acknowledgement form itself? That you have to have two signatures, do you not?
You have to have two signatures on it in order to get somebody on a birth certificate, yes. Now, I wanted
Ms. Epp, yes. Under 43-1406, it says a determination of paternity made by an acknowledgement shall be given full faith and credit by the state.
Yes.
So why would we not give it the same authority or the same whatever that Ohio gives it?
Well, it's in both states, as I understand it, would be rebuttable.
Well, how is it rebuttable if the time period has passed and neither of
the time period applies to the signatories, not to others? And if you look at the Nebraska scheme, from 43-104 all the way through, there's a whole list of folks who are entitled to have notice of the proposed adoption, file an objection, be heard, get notice, and establish whether they are the biological father. Someone whose paternity has been acknowledged, someone on the birth certificate, they're all in categories of people who are entitled to have notice, but you've got to go to point 2.2 to determine whose consent is necessary. And Jesse is asking you to constitutionally protect the rights of a stranger, a biological stranger. He has no constitutional rights. There is not a case in the country, Your Honor, that gives a liberty interest or a due process interest to a non-biological parent in an unwed adoption scenario. So that's the question. Ohio might disagree with Nebraska statutes. Every state's adoption statutes are different. Nebraska's applies, and unless they're unconstitutional, they have to be upheld.
Is Ohio's scheme against public policy in Nebraska?
I have no idea, Your Honor.
Is there a constitutional issue in this case?
No, I do not believe so. A non-biological person, whether it's a grandparent or Jesse B. or a foster parent or a sibling or an aunt or an uncle who is not the biological parent, does not have constitutional protection as to that child.
If you take your argument to its conclusion, every time there is a judgment in another state and they ask for full faith and credit, then somebody could come and argue and say, well, the Ohio statutes do not correspond or conflict with Nebraska statutes. Therefore, you can't have full faith and credit.
You acknowledge the facts under which the acknowledgement was made, but you don't have to accept Ohio's interpretation of it. You apply it under Nebraska law because Nebraska's adoption law applies here under the UCCJEA.
It seemed to me that you would really have chaos if you didn't give full faith and credit, because every state would look behind, compare the statutes, and say, well, we're not going to give them credit.
Okay, let's assume that Ohio... their acknowledgement statute gets full faith and credit and is applied as it would be by an Ohio court here. Same conclusion, Your Honor. It's a rebuttable presumption under the adoption statutes. The judge has to look at the actual biology of the situation and determine the actual biological parent. Jesse being on the birth certificate or having been acknowledged paternity or even been adjudicated by a court, which he wasn't, but even if he had been, he was entitled to notice the right to be heard and the right to show whether he was the biological parent. He is not. That's the end of the story.
Are there time limitations on this? Suppose the parties lived in Ohio for 5 years. The father acknowledged that he was the father, and therefore Ohio recognized him as the legal father. They get to fighting, and the wife moves to Nebraska, starts an adoption proceeding by giving the child up for adoption. And Nebraska then concludes that Jesse has no rights in the case because he's not the biological... When do you determine the biological father? What the time frame is?
At the time of the adoptive placement, Your Honor, if both biological parents consent to the adoption cannot be vetoed or blocked by a biological stranger to the child.
Oh, right. Even though Ohio recognizes him as the legal father? And they've lived there for 5 years?
If the UCCJEA would make Nebraska the home state as it has in this case, then Nebraska adoption law would apply. Any other questions?
Just real quick, is it your position that the Interstate Compact for Adoption does not apply here because the child was gone from Ohio long enough? Is that your position?
There's absolutely no evidence in the record whatsoever that Heather intended to do an adoption when she moved home. She fled Ohio for reasons that aren't in the record, came to live with her parents, lived with her parents for 3 months, could not handle the duties of parenting, and she pursued an adoption plan 3 months later. So without evidence that her intent was to come here to do an adoption, UCC, ICPC would not apply.
So this is a Nebraska adoption?
Through and through, Your Honor.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? A minute and 48 seconds, Mr. Babcock.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Judge Pirtle, with regards to your question, we never had the opportunity to litigate that issue. We were denied the opportunity to get into court to get to the bottom of whether or not she brought that child here for an adoptive placement. It's our contention and our belief that she did, however. Michael H. v. Gerald D., a U.S. Supreme Court case from 1989, makes very clear that a conclusive presumption of paternity under the law is more important than biology to establish the rights and relationships between parties. And that's precisely the circumstance we have at this point in time.
What was the date of that case?
That was 1989, Your Honor. Jesse was not treated as an adjudicated father. He was not provided notice and given the opportunity to have a full-blown hearing as is required for an adjudicated father. And an adjudicated father, if you look at the statutory scheme, only applies to a Nebraska adjudicated father. 104.22, you get there through two pathways, through 104.05 or through 104.25. 104.25 is a Nebraska adjudicated father. 104.05 is a child born in Nebraska, because it's only applicable, and the jurisdiction of the appropriate court to hear that case is the county court where the child was born. We disputed the DNA testing throughout the course of this proceeding. Jesse was not a party to the DNA testing. We don't know if it's accurate, and we do have legitimate questions with regards to its validity. Read the form, Exhibit 8. It really lays out what the significance of that form was. Heather presumptively knew exactly what she was signing when she did so. It's intended to establish parenting.
Is it my understanding that the opposing counsel's argument is that biological father trumps all rights of a legal father in Ohio?
Yes, I think that is her argument, and I think it's very misplaced. I don't think that is a correct argument. I fear my time is up.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That concludes arguments for the day. The court is adjourned, and you are excused.